Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Hi, everyone. This is the Rose, Rose Colombo.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Wake up, America. Is the American dream on the verge of the American nightmare? The world appears to be facing a world operated by cartels, gangs, organized criminal syndicates, and billionaires who are unethical, not all, but those who are unethical, who appear to be running out of wars for the international military-industrial complex. That is worth billions and billions of dollars. As well as the injuries and loss of life, and injuries are linked to the medical industrial complex, and the loss of life is linked to the United Nations Agenda 21 to reduce the population of the planet, as well as to protect us from communism. So how did communism seep into the USA and Marxism? The question needs to be answered, right? I think so. Well, we also have the big pharma medical industrial complex today, and they are rearing their ugly heads to make some multi-billion dollar profits off of the new COVID banded mask and the goggles that they're promoting through Dr. Fauci. I don't know how you get those on top of your glasses, but I guess there must be a way to do that. And then they have the testing kits and the tracers and the tracking devices made by AI, all made in China. And you know that when they're made in China, we have to worry about their tainting the testing kits. And we have to worry about the quality of the products, because China is not our friend. Communism is not our friend. That is why our parents or grandparents or great-grandparents fought during World War II to protect America from the communists who seek to conquer the world, including the USA. So here we have all these industrial complexes making billions and billions of dollars at us, and there are about 7.7 billion people on the planet, and many are uninformed about many of the conspiratorial agendas that affect every human being on the planet that is creating a multi-trillion dollar business, if they should succeed, by using human beings as human commodities for profit and human capital. So I just wanted to pass that by you, because our country is at a crossroads, and we are either going to save our nation or we are going to lose our nation. And today I have a very special guest, and he is Rob Raskin, R-A-S-K-I-N. And Rob Raskin is a successful businessman and consultant, and he's going to share his new purpose and passion to help save the children from sex trafficking and to help save our nation. Help Us Patriots, Save Our Nation. So we're going to be speaking to him about his background and why and how he came to work with a new purpose to his life. And so we're going to return in just one moment to welcome Rob Raskin to Columbo Chronicles. So don't touch that dial. We will be back in just a moment.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure, be sure to bring your appetite.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Listen up, everyone, because today we have a really important topic. We're going to be talking about saving our country and saving the children from child trafficking and being turned into sex slaves. Serious, serious problem in America and around the world. Let me tell you a little bit about our guest. His name is Rob Raskin. He says that some people were born to go beyond the standard, but he believes that he is one of those persons, and thank God for those persons, correct? So Rob began his life in Brooklyn in 1956, and his entrepreneurial spirit was apparent right from the start. By the age of 12, he was mowing 15 lawns a week, removing as much snow as he could to clear the route for his newspaper customers on Long Island. Rob excelled as a student at Sunnybrook. I guess that's the State University of New York, before he relocated to Las Vegas in June of 1977, just after eloping with his first wife. Rob is extremely proud of his two beautiful children. Both of them were born in 1981. His daughter is a professor at a prestigious university, and his son is a pediatric neurosurgeon. That's quite an accomplishment. Throughout his adulthood, Rob has been a successful business owner and consultant, but the 9/11 attack on the United States brought new purpose to his life. Once Rob realized he had to keep the American dream alive for his grandchildren and for future generations, his course was set. He knew he had to do everything he could to take his country in the right direction. So let's say hello to Rob Raskin, and we'll have him tell us a little more about his background. Hi, Rob. How are you doing today?
Great, Rose. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, we're very happy to have you on the show because, you know, the purpose of living is to find a new mission each time we are enlightened by a purpose. So why don't you tell us a little more about your background and how the light bulb went off when you decided to take on a new purpose?
Well, thank you. What happened in my journey with regards to the child trafficking was a very small event that ended up becoming a journey for the last 8 years. And what that was my wife had two sisters, and the middle sister had two daughters, one natural and one adopted. And she passed away in 2011, and when she did, the dad was unable to take care of the children. And so at that point in time, my wife went to court in Pennsylvania and was awarded custody of the two children, and the agreement was that her older sister was going to physically raise the children and have custody, and then we would support them. And so that's what we did. And so it ran fine for about 6 years, but the older girl, who was 10 at the time, and the younger one was 8, by the time the 10-year-old became 16 years old, she was very aggressive. She had obsessive defiance disorder, and she was diagnosed with a low IQ, and she had a couple of other issues. And so she started becoming more and more aggressive. She had thrown her aunt down, and the day in question, she took a potato peeler, and she threatened to kill her younger sister with it. And at that point, the police were called, figuring that they would come out, and they would either give her a firm talking to or take her into the police station and scare the heck out of her so she would calm down. Instead, almost overnight, the system simply terminated the parental rights of my wife's sister, my sister-in-law. They simply terminated the parental rights. And the way they did that was that the caseworker calls in an attorney, and the attorney is the called a guardian ad litem, which is a temporary guardian in Latin, and she meets with the judge behind closed doors with no parent or guardian involved, and tells the judge, this child, it's not safe for her to go back to her home. We need to put her into foster care. And that's how simple a child gets stolen. So when it first happened, I'm in Nevada, and that happened in Alabama. And so I was working one day, and my wife came in tears and said, they won't give our niece back to my sister. And I said, what are you talking about? They can't steal a kid. And so that's what started my journey. So from there, we started investigating, and we found out that it's incredibly rampant corruption in the system for what's supposed to protect the children, which is Child Protective Services. And we learned that the bill that Clinton signed in 1997, giving money to the states for every child that the state has in foster care, essentially became a bounty or a commission for each child. And so the more children that are in foster care, the more money the federal government pays to the state government. And it's so bad that we learned from a former DHR worker in Alabama that it was not uncommon for the governor's office to call the DHR head to tell the DHR head how many children they needed to pick up that month because of budget requirements. There's no regard at all for whether or not the kids need to be picked up or whether or not there's anything going on in their homes that puts them at risk. A child in foster care is 6 times more likely to die and 9 times more likely to be abused. And those numbers might be understated. But the Child Protective Services throughout the country, and they go by different names, Child Protective Services, Department of Human Resources, et cetera, but they're all the same. They're weaponized to take the children. And if you're not familiar with it, or you never heard of this, or you never had anything like this ever happen to you or a friend, you would have no idea how corrupt it is and how easy it is for them to take a child.
But well, I'm very familiar with this whole system because I was in the system for 15 years. So I understand the system totally. I wrote the book, Fight Back Legal Abuse, to inform people back in 2010 of what was happening to our country and our children. And I met with Senator, this might interest you, Senator John DeCamp, who was the real hero of this child trafficking, and he named names of our public servants in the book. And, of course, he was a real target and had a lot of threats come against him and his family. The chair of the Franklin cover-up was allegedly murdered. The newspaper reporter who investigated and had the evidence on these high-powered, wealthy people, his plane blew up in the air with the evidence when he was on his way to deliver it. And so this is how, why people fear. And the American people, as you stated, have no clue how corrupt the family law courts are. Not all, but if you get into a corrupted family law court, CPS has more power than the judge when they say take the kids away from even non-offending parents who did nothing wrong to their children during a divorce. But they'll say, well, until your divorce is resolved, we're going to put the kids in foster care for their benefit. But like you said, in many cases, it's so that the federal government will fill their treasure chest with $6,000 per child or whatever the amount is today. That is definitely a source of not only the state taking away your parental rights for no reason at all in many cases, but also to put many mothers in prison who try to protect their children from going into foster care. Because as you might know, Rob, we're speaking to Rob Raskin, the foster care, the follow-up on foster care is very, very inconsistent. Some kids never get visited because Child Protective Services never shows up, or they think everything's okay when the child could be sexually abused in foster care or abused anyway, because they pay the people to take the children and care for them. So many of them are good foster parents, but there are those who are not good foster parents and abuse those kids, and nobody's following up on them, or even if they died, they wouldn't even know. They have no clue. So I'm very happy that you took up this purpose and are exposing it too, because it is a very serious problem in our country. And you may have heard about Senator Nancy Schaefer, who she blew the whistle like John DeCamp on national television. And in her speech, she said, like Senator John DeCamp did, that they are taking bribes. Some CPS workers are taking bribes for children. So I guess some pedophile will pick out a kid, and then, you know, there you go. And so people have no clue how sinister the system is when you get into a family law court that is a problem for divorcing parents, or for a case like your wife and your sister-in-law ended up with. A very, very serious problem.
Well, when we realized it, we went ahead and put together a binder that included a whole lot of investigation, several hundred pages with an index and a glossary, et cetera, and we sent it out to over 30 different offices everywhere. I have a list here, the Alabama Bar, the Disciplinary Commission of Judicial Commissions, the Complaint Division, Eric Holder at the time, Attorney General, all the way up to Obama, who was president at the time, Vice President Biden, et cetera. And out of over 30, I think there were actually 36 books, we did not receive one response, only to realize later as we continued to do our research and as we did come across Nancy Schaefer and read her reports, only then did we realize, holy cow, they all know about it. And it's the way that they make money, and it's the way that they get children to be able to use and abuse. And so there's no way that any of these people are going to help us. The only thing that we just did was put ourselves on the radar of letting them know that we know. So that was the only thing we accomplished by that entire exercise.
Well, it's not really, because, I mean, I've been doing it for 30 years. And I can tell you that, yeah, you do put yourself on the radar, no doubt about that. And it's not a good place to be, but you know, we have to do what we have to do to save the children. So that's that, and to tell the truth.
Absolutely.
And whatever
Absolutely.
We have to do, people before us have had a lot of problems with the system that stood up and for what was right. And that's what we have to do, no matter what. And so the bottom line is, though, that Nancy Schaefer and her husband were allegedly murdered in their bed because it was reported a double suicide, but it was under mysterious circumstances, so as reported in the news. And that happened only a couple of weeks after she recited that scathing report. So people think it isn't dangerous. It is dangerous because, hey, they want the kids, right? And the money.
Yep, and she had a book that was just about to come out that was going to name names when they were murdered. And I actually knew a sheriff in a different state, and I asked him to check on it. And he got back to me within 48 hours and said, leave this one alone and just walk away. So he knew darn well that the Georgia Bureau of Investigation immediately closed that out as a murder-suicide when it was nothing of the kind. And there's nobody that knows these people that believes that that was a murder-suicide, but rather hushing them up because they
And it's a warning to
so
other
much.
People. It's a warning
yes.
to other
and,
people.
And here's a quote that from Nancy. Child Protective Services and Juvenile Courts can always hide behind a confidentiality clause in order to protect their decisions and keep the funds flowing. There should be open records and court watches of look who's being paid. There are state employees, lawyers, court investigators, court personnel, and judges. There are psychologists and psychiatrists, counselors, caseworkers, therapists, foster parents, adoptive parents, and on. All are looking to the children in state custody to provide job security. Parents do not realize that social workers are the glue that holds the system together, that funds the court, the child's attorney, and the multiple other jobs, including the DHR's attorney. So most people don't realize and think that the court is on their side or looking to do good. But in the case of Judge Billy Jackson, who was in northern Alabama, Lauderdale County, we ended up determining that the juvenile detention centers that are built up there, that he's remanding kids to, he's on the board along with the attorney who was the guardian ad litem, along with the caseworkers, along with some of the police. They're all on the board for the kickbacks for the facility. So they're actively and aggressively making money by taking these kids away from their parents and in some cases remanding them into custody, regardless of what happens to the family that is now destroyed because they've taken away the child, and regardless of the safety, health, or welfare of the child.
So we're breaking up here.
We actually went so far,
Rob,
as to can you hear me? Did you lose me? I'm here. I'm right here.
Because we were breaking up a little there. And the other thing is they built these secret private juvenile facilities, and there were judges who were caught, and they got like $2 million in bribes to put children, little children, into juvenile facilities without notifying the parents. So there was a pipeline between the system and the public schools to call the police. And, you know, back in the day, they used to call the parents if they had a problem, and they'd sit down and talk with the parents and correct the problem. Now they just call the police, arrest little tiny kids with their hands handcuffed, put them in a police car for throwing spitballs or whatever. Parents didn't even know, according to the news, that their kids had been arrested, little kids I'm talking about, and for being boys, or it was mostly little boys, and putting them into those privatized facilities, and the judges were taking bribes for every kid they ordered into those facilities. And a couple of them got caught. They were up to like $2 million in bribes. And so when people think, you know, that they don't need to get involved with the system and learn as much as they can about the system, and you know, in the 90s, we used to hold, I used to lead candlelight vigils, and we did marches before the DA's office and before the courthouses, trying to get women, moms, single moms out of jail who they threw the book at because they tried to protect their children from pedophiles. Basically, you know, they would, if you mentioned that your husband or your partner was a pedophile and you did not want your child to for that person to have any custody, some judges got very angry at the single
yes.
mom for making that accusation, and they ended up in jail. And and then the other thing is, because I started court watching committees back in the 90s. I don't do it now, but we had a whole community of people who belonged to my organization, and we would hold meetings at the community centers. And once a week, we would meet at the courthouse and just go into a random courtroom with pads of paper and pencils and sit there and list the judge and the lawyers and the case. And we would write down notes of whether we thought that judge was objective or the lawyers were, you know, dropping the ball on the client, or, and we would discuss it at the meetings. And I think more communities should actually do that, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. As long as the people realize how, you know, deep it is, because oftentimes even the DA is involved. And so if there's so much corruption that people need to go into it with their eyes wide open and realize that if there's corruption in the courts and then you're going to go up to the next level, you're probably only reporting it to people that 100% know. And so that's what makes it so difficult. There's a gentleman by the name of Bill Windsor who created an organization called Lawless America.
I don't know why we're getting cut off here, but we are.
Are you not hearing me?
It's just breaking up.
There's a gentleman named Bill Windsor who is he created an organization called Lawless America, and he took congressional testimony of, I think, about 2,000 people and put it on a disc of over 100 hours of testimony and took it to Congress and delivered it to every office for every senator and every congressman. And not one of them commented on it. Not one of them got back to him on it. Not one of them even sent an aide. So here's a guy who put
Well, it's not unusual because we did a report on NAMBLA, and I wrote to Senator Feinstein, and because Bill Clinton was appointing James Hormel to the ambassador of Luxembourg. And so I opposed it because he was tied to NAMBLA. And during the 90s, people really were not, unless you were a victim and you had your eyes open, you didn't really become a member of the organization and fight back. And I think today, you know, there's more information out there, except like people are, maybe they're afraid to get involved. I'm not sure. What do you think?
Well, I think a lot of people really don't know. And not only do they not know that, you know, the Child Protective Services throughout the country is actually weaponized and actually has so much authority because they could just come into your home. They don't need a warrant, and they can take your child.
Can I ask you to do something for me? Because this is a really important topic.
Sure.
I'm going to take a break because we're having some kind of interference. Maybe it's the topic. And can you call me right back and see if the phone works better?
Yes, I'm going to call you back on a different line.
Hello?
I'm going to call you right back on a different line.
Okay, so we're getting cut off here, so for some reason. And so I'm going to take a break, and then hopefully Rob will call back, because you do want to know this information, especially if you have children or grandchildren.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure, be sure to bring your appetite.
Hi, everyone. We're back. I don't know why we're having interference on the show today. I'm not sure if it's the topic, but there's something going on today. So, Rob, go ahead and tell me what you were continue on with what you were talking about.
Well, what I was going to say is that it's so easy that most people don't know how powerful CPS is. They can get a call, or they can say they got a call requiring them to come out. They come out and they say, well, we need to take the child into custody temporarily to do an investigation. Once they take that child, they have no obligation to ever give the child back. And then you can jump through hoops until you die trying to get your child back. If you push very hard and you're very aggressive, a lot of times what they'll do is they'll take the child and they'll relocate the child to a foster home, which is what they did with my niece, 120 or 150 miles away. And they'll tell you, you can have supervised visits on Wednesday from 12 to 2. And so now you have to take off from work on Wednesdays and drive 2 hours to go see the child. Now you get there, and then they say, well, the supervisor called in sick today. And so now you just took a day off from work, drove 120 miles, can't even see the kid because it's supposed to be supervised. And yet in many instances, absolutely nothing happened. I was actually told by a former DHR worker that a lot of times the police work in conjunction with the caseworker so that the police will go to the house and say, we received a report and we need to see the child. So they come into the house, they see the child, and then they leave. Then the caseworker goes to the house, and lo and behold, the caseworker finds weed or meth or something that in some cases the police officer actually put there. Now, most police officers are good. I absolutely support the blue line, the thin blue line. I actually support them. But that doesn't mean that every police officer is good. But that's how easy it is. The caseworker can take the child, and then they can actually terminate the parental rights without having an open hearing so that the parent never even gets a chance to speak. And that's what happened in our case. So when we started sending out our books and we realized that nobody was answering, and we got involved with Bill Windsor from Lawless America, and we realized that Congress wasn't answering, and we reviewed Nancy Schaefer's work before she passed, and realized that she was saying it goes to the highest level. And her exact words were, the reason why they take so many children is because they need the inventory. These children are, some of them are sold on websites to the pedophile with the highest bid. Some of these children are turned out to the streets. Some of these children are just abused. Some of them are in snuff films, which is killing them online. It's absolutely horrific, and most people don't realize it. When they think of human trafficking, a lot of times they think of teenage girls that are being held beyond their will or forced to go out in the street, which is absolutely horrible. But some of these children are one. Some of them are five. Some of them are eight. I've seen some of the things that you can't even imagine that are advertisements for babies. It's absolutely unbelievable how horrible it is. And now everybody's talking about Epstein Island, but that's a very small piece of the puzzle, believe it or not. Even though it involves the highest level of people in our society and all throughout the world, Epstein Island is only one facet of it. There's also the ranch in New Mexico where they actually found bodies and covered that up because the media supports the machine. And the machine is using these children not only for satanic rituals, but it's a $150 billion a year industry by many estimates. One of the DHR former workers that I spoke to said that on one particular night, a foster parent called him screaming that the police and a caseworker showed up.
Rob,
and took 19 children.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah, I can hear you.
Well, because we're getting broken up here by some strange, I have no idea how that is happening, because it's never happened before. So why don't we do this? Why don't I, can you be back on the show at 1:30 and I will switch, another means to contact you to record this, because it's too important to be broken up. And can you be available at 1:30?
Absolutely.
Because I want to make sure everything is very clear so people understand what is happening to these children, and whoever's breaking us up, well, I'll use a different means to contact you at 1:30.
Okay.
All right.
Thank
you.
I will call back in at 1:30.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Very strange how the phone broke up when we start talking about child trafficking and child protective services and district attorneys and how the children are at high risk and family law courts and private juvenile facilities. We aren't broken up now, but we were broken up, and sorry about that. I'm going to try another means to get this information out to you with Rob Raskin, because it's very, very important that you understand you have to protect the children, your grandchildren. You have to protect them from being removed from your home and your parental rights just wiped out in a split second by a judge or a CPS worker or kidnapped and trafficked, and you'll never see your child again. So let me give you some information on human trafficking. Human trafficking awareness, and it's on Deliver Fund. Every 2.5 hours, a child is taken by human traffickers. 7 years average lifespan of a child victim once taken. 100,000 to 150,000 victims are held as commercial sex slaves. 90% of trafficking victims are females, and every trafficked child is purchased for sex 5.4 times a day. That's a child being bought to have sex with some evil person. 50% of trafficking victims are children. 50% of trafficking victims are children. And then you have to remember that there's also the traffickers who kidnap anybody for their organs. And in China, that's very prevalent. It's been going on at least since the 90s, where they have been killing children and adults for human organs. But my question is, what are they doing with so many human organs? Who are they selling them to, and what are they doing with them? Surely not everyone can afford, who needs a heart or a liver or whatever, $1 million. Most people cannot. So what are they doing with all of these human organs? And in China, they even say that they harvest them while the person is alive and not even under any anesthetic. This is how evil and sinister this is. And it's a multi-billion dollar business. So, of course, they do not want the information out because they want to continue on with this multi-billion dollar business that they're doing. So let me give you a little history. Sex trafficking in the United States is a form of human trafficking which involves reproductive slavery or commercial sexual exploitation as it occurs in the United States. Sex trafficking includes the transportation of persons by means of coercion, deception, and or force into exploitative and slavery-like conditions, and it's commonly associated with organized crime. It has been estimated that 2/3 of trafficking victims in the United States are citizens. Most victims who are foreign-born come into the U.S. legally on various visas. State Department estimated that between 15,000 and 50,000 women and girls are trafficked each year into the United States. That means that there's 500,000 up to 800,000, it's been reported, of adults and children being trafficked into the United States and then out probably again. The measures against trafficking of women focus on harsher criminal legislation and punishments, but they don't really get punished. They get a slap on the wrist. And as we know, the Democrat governors are releasing all these felons. There's child molesters, there's pedophiles, there's murderers, there's gang members, there's jihadists. They're releasing them from the prisons onto our streets right now. They've been doing it since 2009 when Obama and Holder began releasing terrorists from Gitmo and then felons from prisons. And he did it even right before President Trump took office in 2016 after the elections. He released hundreds or thousands of prisoners. So why are they doing this? That's the question you need to ask. Why are they doing this? And you need to call your representatives and ask them, why are they doing this? Who is monitoring the sex trafficking? How are they getting away with it? Why did the Democrats fight for open borders and open tunnels? Why are they bringing in unidentified people from foreign enemy nations? These are the questions you need to ask. You need to become an activist to protect the children and yourselves from having your children taken away from you for no reason. The measures against trafficking of women focus on harsher criminal legislation and punishments and improving international police cooperation. There are vast media campaigns which are designed to be informative to the public as well as policymakers and potential victims. So this is what we're up against. And so I'm going to cut the show early, cut it off early today, because we're going to invite Rob Raskin back on the show at 1:30 today. So if you want to hear what he said, I apologize for the interference that was going on. I have no idea why there was interference, but the topic is sensitive, and obviously somebody didn't want you to hear the information, or maybe it was just a natural interference. Who knows? We will never know. You can only guess. So on that note, I just want to say God bless you. Please help protect the children. Please speak up, speak out, call your representatives. And join us again at 1:30 with Rob Raskin as our special guest who has taken up this cause. And thank God there are more people like Rob Raskin out there. God bless you. Talk to you at 1:30. Bye-bye.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.